Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Chempy is here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad he's joining us, too. Now, and you will be, too, once you meet him and get to know him, because he's been helping people like you and me put our best foot forward in the marketplace for a long time. He's been doing it in a number of different ways, as a consultant, as a leader of a consulting company, more than one consulting company, actually. He's the author of some outstanding books, some bestsellers that have revolutionized the marketplace, including Reengineering the Corporation and also Reengineering Management. His new book is called Outsmart, How to Do What Your Competitors Can't. And as I said earlier, he's our new friend. Jim Chempy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you. And I'm a great admirer, by the way, of small business. You know, it's small business that will bring this economy back.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what he said there? See, Jim, this is what I've been telling them for about 6 months now.
Yes.
When it finally dawned on me how bad this thing was going to get and who got us into this and who's trying to fix it, and they're not doing a very good job. And it occurred to me that there's only one group of people that every day add value at every turn without asking for anything in return except a decent return on their investment, and that's small business owners.
Absolutely. And you know, Jim, out of any recession, you know, growth comes from small business. Growth that comes from entrepreneurs who get out there, start new businesses, grow their businesses. As you point out, they're not asking for anything, you know, from the government except, you know, a fair shake just a fair playing field. But that's where growth and excitement will come from over the next several years.
I will tell you, though, Jim, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm thinking about turning my media company into a bank holding company so I can get some of that TARP money.
Well.
But so far it hasn't worked out for me, but we're still working on that. You know, another thing that I like to say is, and that I think prompted you to say what you did, small business owners are just so lovable and huggable, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, their passion for what they do, Jim, their respect for their customers. I think a small business owner's, Jim, is almost having a higher sense of purpose of what they do.
There's no question about it.
And, you know, in the research for this book, for me it was inspiring. As you point out, I've seen lots of companies, large and small, medium-sized, over the last 30 years. But for me, just interviewing the founders, the leaders of these companies, was almost a spiritual experience.
Well, talk to us about that. Now, in the book Outsmart, you actually interviewed a number of companies, but you chose as your subtitle to use the term competitor, and you've identified something about these companies that are in your book, the ones that you profile in your book. You found something about them that made you believe that they were doing things better than their competitors were doing. Can you give us some ideas?
Sure, absolutely. Look, first, all these companies were growing, Jim, at double or triple-digit rates over a few years. So, you know, I had proof that they at least on the surface were doing something different or something good. And what I was looking for in my research were companies that had, you know, what I would call a different operating model. Now, that's a bit of consulting jargon. But what I mean by that, these are companies that were offering their customers, in many instances, a new product, a new service, or a substantially enhanced product or service, and they were operating in new ways. They just weren't kind of following the pack, if you will. They were doing things in fundamentally new ways, but they were.
Would you consider those new ways to be? Would it be correct to call them 21st century ways, not just? New ways, because people were doing new things in 1990 that were invalid 10 years later.
Absolutely, Jim. New ways, particularly in the way they were using information technology, in the way technology worked for these businesses. Many of them, by the way, could not have existed in the form that they exist today 10 years ago, because we didn't have the ubiquity and presence of the Internet 10 years ago. But these were people who were using technology, you know, in smart ways. On the other hand, Jim, they weren't...
And many of these companies were 20th century companies like Smith & Wesson.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
These were 20th century companies that shed the baggage and came into the 21st century.
That's right. They did two things. Actually, Smith & Wesson's a very interesting example because, you know, it's been around for over 100 years, you know, one of the premier handgun manufacturers in this country. It had lost its edge. It had lost its business discipline. And it was, you know, it was kind of re-inspired by a new leader who came back, and by the way, who understood consumers. He was a guy who had never shot a gun.
He wasn't a firearms expert. He was a customer expert, wasn't he?
He was a customer expert. He had worked for Black & Decker and Kohler, two big brand names, as you know. And he saw the brand. He saw the brand power of Smith & Wesson. And he came back, and he just reinstilled in that company just what we might call 21st century operating disciplines. And brought it back to life, and brought it back to double-digit growth. And I wanted to write, Jim, about that case because although the other 89 cases that are in the book are companies that have just started up, you know, a few years ago, it's possible even for a large company to change. You know, as one author put it a few years ago, you know, an elephant can learn to dance. It's hard, though. It is hard. It is very, very
hard.
Well,
you know, one of the great stories along those lines is what IBM did in the 90s.
IBM
to go from a hardware company, which they still have some hardware, but to go from a hardware company to a services company.
That's one of the great transformations of the last century. And Gerstner, the CEO who brought it through that change, really needs to be admired for what he did. But Jim, it's one of the few examples, unfortunately, of a large company that can transform itself.
I have a theory on that, Jim, and I've been observing. I've been around a while. My audience knows I've got a lot of gray hair that I didn't inherit. I earned all of it. And my theory is this: that what gets companies into trouble, and this is where I'm not saying that I'm taking issue with your book, but I want you to help us reconcile this. I think where companies get into trouble is when they spend too much time focusing on the competition and not enough time focusing on the customer.
Absolutely. And actually, Jim, what I found for all of these companies is they were much more focused on the customers. That's how, in fact, they outsmarted their competition.
Right.
I'll tell you an interesting story. I interviewed, and the case is not in this book, by the way. This is the first in a series of short business books that are designed to really illustrate what is new in business and how people are operating in different ways. So I interviewed some other companies that aren't in this book for the next couple of books in the series. One will be out, in fact, next.
Hold on to that thought, Jim. Folks, Jim Champion's going to be right back with us. His new book is called Outsmart: How to Do What Your Competitors Can't. I'll say that better when we come back after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, visiting with Jim Champion. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for listening to us. Or wherever you are across North America listening on the radio, wherever you are around the world listening on the internet, thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it very much because you're our customer. And I want you to know that we never take that for granted. We don't pay attention to the competitors around here. All we care about are our customers. And our customers are small business owners and people who want to be small business owners. And somebody who understands a lot about customers is our new friend, soon to be old friend, because we're going to get him back on the show. He's got a lot more to teach us. Jim Champy, ladies and gentlemen, that's Champy. If you're Googling him, and be prepared to be overwhelmed with information and significant critical mass in his resume. His new book is called Outsmart: How to Do What Your Customers Can't. Jim, tell us where the book's available and tell us how to find you.
Oh, you can certainly find it on at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most of the major bookstores, Borders, or your local bookstore. But, you know, there's a good supply at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Borders, I can tell you that.
What about your own website?
Just go to jimchampy.com.
Yep. Okay. Yep. JimChampy.com. Check that out.
.com, and you can read more about me. And there's some articles, Jim, that I've written there that folks may want to read.
So check those out,
Jim. Before the break, I was going to tell you the story of Under Armour, which is a great illustration of how not to focus on your competitors, but to focus on your customers. I was interviewing the CEO of Under Armour, and you know, I always ask these folks, where do the ideas come from? And he had been a football player, college football player.
Under Armour, if people don't know, are the folks who make sporting gear and stuff like clothing and stuff like that.
Athletic wear. Yeah. He said, look, he discovered that after his football practices, his typical cotton T-shirt weighed about 3 pounds in perspiration. And so he said he went to a local fabric store in Baltimore, you know, found a piece of fabric that would wick perspiration away, brought it to a tailor, had a custom fitted T-shirt made. His teammates liked it, so he started to sell them these T-shirts. Today, Jim, that's a $400 million a year business.
Wow. Now, and you see their gear on football teams all over the place.
That's right, all over the place. Now, you know, I said to him, you know, where do your ideas come from? He says, from our customers, their needs. We focus on them. And then he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I go to 7th Avenue, New York, which is, you know, the center of the apparel industry. And he said, I go into our competitors' offices, and I see rooms full of the competition's clothing. And they're studying the competition's clothing.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't have any of those rooms. He said, but what we do have, is most of the folks here in corporate, in our offices, designing these clothes and dealing with customers, have played some competitive sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they really understand the need of customers. And that's what we focus on.
Well, see, it's the Gretzky. You're talking about the Gretzky syndrome.
Yes.
The Gretzky strategy. You know what Gretzky always said. The key to his success was right. Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey. He said, "Don't go where the puck is. Go where it's going to be." Exactly. And so your competitors are where the puck is. Your customers are where the puck's going to be.
Your competitors, Jim, will never tell you how to be distinctive. You see, you'll never get to be distinctive and distinguish yourself in a market by focusing on competitors. They will not tell you where the future is. You've got to figure that out by watching your competitors and trying to discover their needs, particularly their unmet needs. You know, when you read the Outsmart book, what you'll find in many of these cases are examples of entrepreneurs, of small businesses in particular, that discovered a need, an unmet need that their customers have. Oftentimes big companies, Jim, see those needs, but they look at them and they say, well, this is too small or too unimportant.
Right.
And of course, any idea when it's new is small.
The big companies have this syndrome of chasing the competition that is really unfortunate. And I don't know what it's going to take, Jim, to get major corporations to do a better job of focusing on their customers and less time focusing on the competitors. I'll tell you what else it's going to take, Jim. It's going to take the suspension of the quarterly guidance reports to analysts.
I know.
That's the worst thing, in my opinion. That's one of the worst things to happen in the marketplace. What do you think?
It's unfortunate. You know, when I was interviewing companies for Outsmart, nobody ever said to me, we're worried about our quarterly performance. That's why we're not investing or spending. These companies did the right thing at the moment of truth. They didn't say to me, it's not in our budget. You know, and I've gone to big companies and worked with some very good big companies, and I'll say, well, why aren't you doing this? You know you've got to do it. And they say, well, it's not in the budget, or it'll cost us this year. We can't afford to do that. And so, you know, there are smart people, very smart people inside big companies that I think are frozen by the capital structure that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think,
Jim, that based on what has to be considered? I mean, Joel Barker is a friend of mine. I hope he doesn't think I'm using his term incorrectly. Mm-hmm. But we've got to be in a paradigm shift from a capitalism standpoint. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Do you think that the phoenix rising out of these ashes will be better?
I'm hopeful. You know, Jim, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist. And I think times of chaos like this actually create opportunity. And the question will be, I think the real question is, will particularly in big companies, people have the courage to change in the way they need to change? You know, there won't be a better example to observe than what happens to the U.S. automotive industry.
Absolutely. But isn't this a time when we all need to not take for granted that somebody else is going to do it the right way? We've all got to play a part in this redevelopment of our marketplace and of capitalism.
Absolutely. And there's great opportunity to do it, Jim. You know, we've got technology today that we've never had before.
Jim, I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. Will you come back another day and talk to us again?
Absolutely. Be pleased to do it, Jim.
Thank you. Jim Champy, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I told you we'd have fun with Jim Champy joining us, and get smarter too, right? He'll be back, I promise. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's 29 after. Stay with me. I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.